little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
This is an extended shared option discussion with Neil about sleep and ways to improve his sleep problems. Neil, thanks very much for coming back.
You're welcome.
We met again 2 days ago.
Correct.
And you shared quite a little bit of what's been going on with me, if I could just summarise some of that in the first instance, and then we'll go on with today's discussion, if that's okay. You've been beset by anxiety, and that's appears to have affected your sleep pattern too.
Yeah, and I feel it's developed over the last few weeks to the extent that's why I'm here.
Yeah. So getting off to sleep is difficult. You had tried some amitriptyline to try and help you with your sleep, but that tends to leave you feeling quite
groggy,
hungover and groggy. You're quite cautious about using medication because you've got 4 grandchildren, but you've got a tendency to overthink. And this has been going on particularly for the last few weeks, but it's something you've had a tendency to do for some years now.
Indeed, okay. Yes.
And certainly having retired a number of years ago, you miss the work, you miss having something to occupy your time, although clearly you enjoy the grandchildren, but having too much time on your hands has had something of a tendency to help with that tendency that you have to catastrophize, to think
more
the
time
worst.
To sit and think.
Mm. You're married, happily married.
Yeah.
Not a drinker.
No.
Not a smoker.
No.
And no dreadful habits that I should know about in terms of drug use or anything.
No, not so.
Fine. Okay. And you don't suffer with panic attacks.
No.
And you've not always been off an anxious disposition.
No, it's been very positive.
It's really been a gradual process, but it's been particularly bad over the past two or three months.
It seemed to escalate around the first grandchild.
Yeah.
I think like the added responsibility of being a grandparent, then multiplied by 2, multiplied by 3, multiplied by 4. And you project your mind into all the scenarios that the children could end up in.
Yeah.
You know, we're having horrible things happening in the country now.
Yeah.
And you tend to individualise them and make them, what if this happens to me?
How old are the grandkids now?
1, 3, 5, 7.
So this has been 7 years in the coming, in the making, and then magnifying.
It's been developing.
And you link this also in with political developments and world developments.
That's the issue with it. I take things that I can't influence and let them get to me. Yeah. And things I can influence, then they still get to me.
Yeah. So we had a chat about some of the other things that are affecting you. And we checked and made sure that you don't hallucinate, you don't have funny ideas or ideas that other people might regard as being unusual.
No.
You've got no impression that thoughts are being put into your head or taken out of your head or anything odd like that. You're not a drinker, as we already mentioned. You've never had any stroke disease, you've never had angina or anything like that. So. And you're not on a whole bunch of medication of any sort.
Well, you know, I'm diabetic, and that's all. And we're managing that with the statins at the minute.
So in terms of your diabetes, we talked about this before, then your diabetes is diet controlled and you're on a statin. The statin has been fine. It's not caused you any soreness and hasn't caused you any anxieties at all. So you're not having any problems with that medication. We talked about your mood. And you weren't sad or low, but you're anxious and you're on edge and found it very difficult to get off to sleep. I asked you to do some homework just to better inform me about how we could help you in the future. And you brought some homework back. But the main reason...
to keep a diary as well.
Fabulous, okay. The main reason I asked you to come back was today, for the purposes of this recording, and hopefully we'll cross over with some of the things that you need from our discussions, is related to the fact that you have such bad problems with your sleep. So you've been very helpful in doing 2 pieces of homework. The first is a screening tool that we use for anxiety symptoms, and you've used the GAD-7 screening tool for anxiety disorders, and you've given me some numbers here.
A score of 12.
And you've given yourself a score of 12, which is significant, isn't it? What that would lead me to think is that this is a moderate case of anxiety. And we talked about options for trying to help you with that anxiety. And when we spoke about this, because of its intensity and the longevity of of the problem, you felt the medication was a thing that you were keen to explore at this time.
To help me get to sleep.
Yeah.
By getting to sleep, the benefits of the medication would manifest themselves in hopefully a clearance of the head.
Yeah, okay, okay. So a collection of problems and dealing with a collection of problems. Now, we also talked about talking therapies, and I felt that probably from our discussion before that talking therapies were not something that you were keen on at that time.
Not that time, and following on from our discussion the last couple of days, I've read quite a bit about, is it cognitive behaviour therapy?
Yeah, we talked about one of the options that might help with
the insomnia.
With the insomnia. So we talked about that. So we're going to come back to that one, if that's okay. But when we spoke a couple of days ago, talking therapies, it was not something that was you were enthusiastic about.
No. I felt on reflection and still feel that if I have to sit and talk to somebody to solve my problem, maybe I should just talk to myself.
Okay. But we need to know how you should talk to yourself.
True.
And there might be an aspect of a particular behavioural therapy that could be done either on a computer or with a person that could help you with your insomnia.
So, right.
So we're going to come back to that, okay. If that's okay. So we're going to explore a bit more about the issues that you do have and don't have related to your sleep pattern. So what I'm going to do is just ask you to tell me a little bit more about the sleep issue that you've got.
Okay. It's fundamentally that I do go to bed reasonably early, and I think we did discuss last couple of days ago how much sleep is necessary, and I'm probably trying to achieve more than I really need. I do get off to sleep, and then I wake up. And to a certain extent, I've got myself into a habit of waking up. I think that's pretty sure of that. Mm. Around the same time, I go downstairs. Until I read the leaflets, I always had a cup of tea and I would have a glass of milk. And it's around the same time, and I generally get off about 4 o'clock through till sort of 8 time. Mm-hmm. And that's relatively refreshing. Mm-hmm. There are occasions, Dr. Burrell, when I don't know what it is, but it's some form of nightmare. And I end up shouting, chasing people. Mm. One time I jumped out of the bed to catch somebody and smashed my head open. Now that's not a regular occurrence. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it follows any pattern of, say, when I've had a bottle of wine. I don't think there is. And it happens quite rare. Mm-hmm. Shouting in me.
So it's not a predominant problem.
No, it's not. It's not every other.
So we're going to take that information about you giving an opinion that you think maybe you're trying to spend too long in the bed, because we might be using that, and that's part of the reason why I've asked you to collect some more information, which is a sleep diary of when you go to bed and when you sleep, because that could be really useful. Okay, from what you said to me before, your impression with your sleep was getting off to sleep was the main issue, yeah?
And like I said to you before, I have a tossing and turning night. I get up and come downstairs on the morning, having showered and everything, and I can fall asleep quite a lot, quite often. I sat on the settee from 9 to 10 o'clock.
Gotcha, all right.
And that's quite frustrating.
Yeah.
Because it's really good quality sleep. It's deep, meaningful sleep. And yet I've been tossing and turning all the night.
Okay.
Which just adds to the frustration.
Yeah. Okay, that's really helpful. Very usefully, you've also filled in a questionnaire that I gave to you that helps me look for the various different common causes of insomnia. Of difficulty with sleep, and I'm just going to go through those with you. So this highlights that one of your main problems that you have almost all the time is difficulty falling off to sleep.
Yeah.
And then you also have trouble staying asleep, and then you feel unrefreshed with that sleep. Okay. You very occasionally take something to help you with sleep, which is usually
amitriptyline,
but you don't like that because it makes you feel groggy. Alcohol's not a part of your life. and it's not something that you use.
I do have a drink now and then.
But it's not a major...
But it's not an every night and every day thing.
No. Okay. And you don't believe that you have a medical condition that disrupts your sleep?
No.
You're not low in mood and you've not lost interest in your hobbies or activities, but you do occasionally feel sad. Yeah, okay. So we think there could be a component of anxiety and
an emotional component
with that. Okay, you feel anxious and nervous most of the time, most nights. Okay, you don't think there's anything wrong with your body. You're not a shift worker, and you don't suffer with restless legs. And there's a proportion of people that find that they have restless legs, and dealing with that problem can help.
Are you talking intermittent claudication there?
No, I'm talking, it sometimes can be caused by iron deficiency, but it's a problem that's called restless leg syndrome.
Right.
Where you've got this irresistible urge to move your legs, and it can be a movement disorder.
Right.
And tackling that can make a big difference to your sleep.
No, I don't have that issue.
You mentioned very occasionally that you have this getting up with the nightmares, but that doesn't seem to be a major component.
No.
You very occasionally snore, but you're not somebody who stops breathing on a night.
No.
But you do tend to sometimes be able to nod off on the sofa, but you're not nodding off in all sorts of different circumstances.
No.
So we don't think you've got sleep apnea syndrome.
No.
And your sleep partner hasn't mentioned anything about you stopping breathing on a night.
No, no.
Okay. Occasionally, we talked about this nodding off during the day, so it's not the major component of what's going on. So those answers are really helpful for me to guide me as to where do we go next with this. And you felt that probably the most constructive thing that you could do would be to take a medication. And you've tried a couple of different medications, and you've found that the citalopram didn't suit you because you had side effects with that. I can't remember.
I can't remember what the side effects were, but they were evident that they occurred quite quickly as soon as I started taking it.
Yeah. So we felt that it was reasonable to try something else that might help you with generalized anxiety, but you don't have panic attacks.
No.
So the family of medication that you're very familiar with your previous profession, medication called fluoxetine or Prozac, it's low in risk of side effects. It does have some problems. Very occasionally it can make you agitated rather than make you feel calmer, but that doesn't seem to have been a problem.
Well, I went to my third one now.
Yeah.
I actually had a good night's sleep last night.
That's interesting.
And the bloody alarm went off at 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it was quite late when I went off.
Yeah, yeah.
But I knew I was into a reasonable sleep now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do something about it now.
Yeah. What's the last time that you wake up in the mornings?
Recently, it's been sort of 9 o'clock.
Okay. So you're not a particularly early waker?
I'm not an early waker because I'm still up.
Yeah.
Leading to that.
Okay. Good, that's really helpful. So this might really be a key, mightn't it? Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
I think personally I've taken on board, like I say, I've offloaded on you to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I've never wanted to sort of burden Audrey with it because she's got enough on her plate to begin with.
Yeah.
And I've kept it a lot to myself.
Mm.
And I know when I left after a couple of days ago with a prescription, it might just be a crutch. But it just feels, and it's a simple dosage of once a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a small tablet, so it's not taking a sledgehammer to crack a nut. And I just feel it's introducing a little element that will let me get on control.
Yeah, okay. There were a couple of other things that we touched upon when I saw you last time, and I think I let you go with a leaflet which talked about sleep hygiene as well. Have you had a chance to look at that review that?
I've read everything two or three times.
Okay. I don't want you to over-obsess about the sleep hygiene side of things, but do you think that there's anything that was important that you've changed in that?
I think the one thing that is the caffeine.
Okay.
I don't drink a lot of tea and coffee, but on a night time.
Yeah.
I do. I have coffee on the morning, but I probably have 3 or 4 cups of tea on a night time. And you just think, caffeine.
Yeah.
I don't drink Coca-Cola.
So it's the caffeine rather than the full bladder that's the issue then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. All right. Was there anything in particular that you were wanting to quiz me related to insomnia?
No. As I say, I got it off my chest.
Mm.
I feel as though I'm on the way to getting it sorted out now.
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain extent, I'll deal with it.
Mm.
I know I will. I'll make sure I do. because I don't want to be reliant on tablets.
Mm.
You know, I think there's a role to play.
Mm-hmm.
And with regard to insomnia, I think the sleep hygiene leaflet has given me quite a lot of food for thought. I mean, I do not have a telly in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
I do read, which I'll increase the reading. I only read for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Not because I want to go to sleep. If I reach the stage where, having read, and my eyes start to roll, I'm there.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's finding something decent to read, to be quite honest.
With the fluoxetine, we talked about the risks of that. You've never had an ulcer in your stomach or anything like that, and you're not on aspirin or ibuprofen. But we did talk about the small tendency that can provoke to increase the risk of you bleeding from your stomach or getting ulcers. So if you've got black poo or upper tummy pain persistently, then you'd need to stop that and let me know. Under the circumstances that you find yourself in, I would recommend that you carry on with this medication if it's beneficial to you and not causing significant problems, probably for a period of 6 months.
Yeah.
And then after that, we can revisit whether you wanted to carry on using it or not. But I'm wondering if to help you long-term with your sleep, there were two things that I was hoping to cover today as well, which might help the larger audience as well. So the first one is, because your difficulty with sleep relates to getting off to sleep and also staying asleep, linking in with anxiety, was this issue of CBTI, so cognitive behavioural therapy, for insomnia. And you weren't a fan of talking therapies, but this is a kind of a behavioural modification thing that you might need some help in doing, but to be fair, some computer models will do this quite well as well. And there is an application now there that's called the Sleepio app.
Right, I see so, that on the leaflet.
So you can use it as an application, or you can buy the product, which comes in the form of support and discs and access to web support. The application is the bare bones of it, but and I think there's a free version of it that you can download,
right,
and that can introduce you to it. And that sometimes is enough. But sometimes knowing the sort of things that are important that you need to change are worthwhile. So
yeah,
that's the first component of it. So that's worthwhile looking at.
Indeed, yeah. I think the if there are elements in there that I feel are helping, that'll encourage me to carry on with the process.
Yeah, okay. And the other thing that relates to your behaviour around bed is important, because you've already mentioned to me you think you probably spend too much time in bed. And it's probably the case that as we get older, we don't need so much sleep, and you've noticed that. But because you prize sleep, you're wanting to get to bed and get your prize sleep in.
True.
And that can be a downfall. And we need to probably measure how much sleep is needed by you and for you to function well, and to try and figure that one out. And most people in your situation, where if we've not found an underlying problem for it, and anxiety does seem to be a problem for you getting off to sleep, but if it wasn't just that, then your sleep efficiency would be something that we'd need to look at.
Right.
So about 20% of people have a primary insomnia, which there's nothing else behind it apart from trying to get too much sleep in, so having unrefreshing sleep because they're trying to sleep for too long, and they're finding it difficult to get off to sleep, and then it's unsatisfying
right.
sleep because of that. And if there's nothing else behind it, then what we can do is to try and make that sleep more efficient and try and make you spend, so 75% of your time in bed should be asleep.
Sleep.
Which might mean that instead of going to bed, so if you want to be in sync with the rest of the family, so if the rest of the family gets up at what time? 8 o'clock in the morning.
Hmm.
If you want to get up at the same time as the rest of your family, and you're, let's say you needed 7 hours sleep, then you don't want to go to sleep until just before the amount of sleep that you want. So that could be as late as 12 or even 1 o'clock to get enough sleep in so that your 75% of your time in bed is actually asleep time.
To make sure I'm really tired.
To make sure that you're really tired. Now, the CBTI does that sort of thing. It helps you with that sort of thing if it assesses that that's the problem that you've got. So that can be a really helpful tool for you. It's rare that sleeping tablets are helpful unless there's a particular health issue. Now, you do seem to have a health issue in that anxiety is all pervasive for you, and that's why we've used fluoxetine. Right. Taking the worry out of the equation for you seems to have been very helpful for you. But time will tell, but we may still need to address this issue of sleep efficiency, and for future, you might be fine to stop your fluoxetine as long as you've got the techniques of CBTI on board so that you know how to look after your sleep pattern. And that might involve that sleep efficiency in deciding what time you need to go to sleep.
Okay.
Does that all make sense?
It does.
Do you want me to go over any of it again?
No. I mean, I think fundamentally, you're telling me what I think I know what I need to do in any event.
Yeah.
And by reading the hygiene, sleep hygiene, all right, I can sort that out. I don't move that.
Yeah.
With regard to the cognitive behaviour therapy, I'd like just to buy a few more days or weeks myself to see how I feel it's improving myself.
Before going into that. You've got the phone number for them.
I've got the details. I've got that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's...
I can't quite recall whether I gave you the full leaflet about insomnia as well. I know I gave you a sleep hygiene leaflet, but did I also give you another leaflet about other options for insomnia?
I don't think so.
So I'll give you that before you go today as well. Okay. Is there any other information that you think you might need at the moment?
No, just knowing that you're there.
Okay. So when's the next time that we're going to discuss this? How are we going to decide that you're making adequate progress? Because you've been on fluoxetine only for a couple of days.
That's right.
It seems to have been helpful. But it might be helpful for me to temporarily put this on repeat prescription for you with the assumption that it's at least suiting you, not caused you any problems, and seems to be helpful.
Right.
Bearing in mind that I'm away on leave next Friday for a fortnight, and you're going to need a prescription within a month. So we could put that on as a repeat prescription for you temporarily.
And I'll see you at the...
And then we could talk again.
When I get my next prescription.
Yeah. And then you could make a telephone appointment. Would that be okay?
That'd be fine.
Great.
But I think I need a bit of time. I think it's too early to push it.
Yeah.
Because there'll be lapses or there could be that side of it.
Yeah.
But at 4 weeks, by then I'll have got my head sorted out in a lot of ways.
Is there anything else that we're missing?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So let's reconvene on the telephone, let's say, for the sake of argument, in about 6 weeks' time from now, if that's okay with you.
Great.
But clearly, if you're having more difficulties or the anxiety is more of a problem to you, or you're having any significant side effects, then you can always get back to either myself or one of my colleagues a little bit earlier than that, if that's okay.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusion.